This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo confirming Israel's bombshell revelations about Iran, saying, quote, "The documents show that Iran had a secret nuclear weapons program for years. Iran sought to develop nuclear weapons and missile delivery systems. Iran hid a vast atomic archive from the world and from the IAEA until today." And joining me to weigh in on these breaking developments is Fox News foreign policy analyst Kyron Skinner. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it this morning.
Thank you.
So, do any of these developments surprise you?
Actually, they do a bit, because we have, you know, a new Secretary of State who's out of the gates very quickly on the Middle East leg of his first trip abroad in his new role, has met with the leader of Israel and has confirmed, with his intelligence background, having headed the Central Intelligence Agency, the fact that basically what we premised the Iranian nuclear deal in 2015 on is in fact not true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge story this morning, to have that confirmation, not just from the Israeli side, but from the American leadership side as well.
Right. We haven't confirmed what a lot of people suspected all along, that they were not following this. Netanyahu said that after signing the nuclear deal in 2015, Iran intensified its efforts, actually, to hide the secret files. In 2017, Iran moved its nuclear weapons files to a highly secret location in Tehran. Apparently, they've recovered 55,000 pages along with 183 CDs. So there's a lot of proof there.
Absolutely. And it leads to a number of possible scenarios for the Trump administration. One, it could simply declare the Iranian nuclear deal null and void because it was based on a falsity. It could also lead to what the president's talked about, a massive renegotiation of the agreement to include more comprehensively all aspects of Iran's nuclear and ICBM missile program, but also to address its terrorism, its support for the Houthi rebels in Yemen, its role in the ongoing and tragic Syrian conflict. So I think this is an opportunity to have a different kind of deal that makes sense for Western security and for the United States in particular.
And in terms of your opinion, what type of deal would make sense? James Mattis came out yesterday. He said that the original deal, or the deal that we're dealing with right now, was written on the assumption that Iran would cheat.
Yes, so I think the deal, just as I've outlined, has to look at Iran more broadly and has to take into focus the concerns of the Arab leaders, of the UAE, of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, and so on. How do we address their security? How do we get Iran to stop being the lead sponsor of terrorism in the world? All of that needs to be in a revised agreement. And President Trump has talked about it over and over again. And this is an opportunity, given that we now know that the Iranians have cheated massively on the 2015 deal.
Kyron Skinner there, giving her analysis on the Iranian cheat. Are you surprised? I don't think there's any big surprise here. You know, this thing, you know, was questionable at best. I think the initial objective was, how do we stop Iran from going nuclear, you know, but yet trying to tell everybody there was no way they were going nuclear. Well, come on. You know, of course, this is the path that they're on. We're going to be talking with Michael Rubin later on this week. Really curious to get his insight on this as well. And he'll be here to address it, as well as Herb London later on. But no doubt that Iran is moving and continues to move toward nuclearization. And really, it's up to the Arab neighbors. You know, what do they want out of this? Is that acceptable to have a nuclear Iran? That still is the same question. Now, what I hear is they say it's not. So what are you willing to do about it? This is Bill Martinez. We're live. John Lott, yes, the gun expert, coming up next.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
What a noble cause, huh? For all the money that we're putting in, all the resources, the blood, the treasure, why not have a country that is back on track and not one that is being challenged by migrants coming in from out of this country, storming our borders, and, you know, some people of supposedly some intelligence suggesting that somehow we're being mean-spirited and anti-immigrant because we want to be a nation of laws. Well, we're going to set that aside for a moment to let you chew on that. But meanwhile, we're going to talk about gun-free zones, all right? We've talked about this many times. And I got to think one of the best people to have here to talk about it, expert-wise, is Dr. John Lott, expert on crime and terrorism, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, top-selling author. And Dr. Lott, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Well, John, we had, a public shooting taking place at the Waffle House in Antioch a couple of Sundays ago. And again, this raises questions of what might happen when a company's policy bans permitted concealed handguns on their property. What do you say?
Right. I mean, it's something that keeps on happening time after time. I suppose the thing that disappoints me the most, though I'm not surprised anymore, is just the media ignores this. You can't find a single news story about how the Waffle House restaurant had signed up saying clearly that people were not allowed to have their permanent concealed handguns on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with about 98% of these mass public shootings since 1950 occurring in places where general citizens aren't allowed to have guns for protection, you would think it would be a major issue. In fact, you know, you think the press would at least be a little sensitive to covering this, given that President Trump has made this an issue. He's advocated very strongly that one of the ways to go and stop these types of mass public shootings at schools, for example, is to have teachers and staff be able to carry like they do in 18 states right now.
Exactly.
And it just, you know, it's, you know, so you'd hope. And it's the easiest thing for the media to check. I mean, I understand they can't get right up against the building, given that it's an active crime scene when it occurs, but you had a whole gaggle of press across the street. You have people with telephoto lenses taking pictures of the outside of the restaurant. It would have been very easy for these individuals just to see the sign
exactly
that was pointing out to them. But, you know, every once in a while you'll see a mass public shooting occur where unintentionally they'll get a gun-free zone sign in the picture, even though the news articles don't do it. So, like, when you're talking about the attack in Chattanooga, it's the military recruiting office that was there. There was a sign on the front door that said gun-free zone sign. You know, or the FedEx shooting that we had a couple years ago, that you'd see a similar sign right there. And so it just...
But, John, just because somebody puts up that sign doesn't mean that this is a federal regulation, right?
Well, it's state regulations that govern these things. But it's,
the state, because some of these signs I see up, it's almost like arbitrary. And they just put them up there. There's no stipulation on the sign, because any sign that goes up that's regulated, there has to be, does it not have to contain on the sign itself the regulation that it that gives it credence?
Well, it varies by state. In Tennessee, they have relatively easy rules to meet in terms of it. You just have to have a clearly posted sign saying that permit concealed handguns aren't allowed.
Yeah.
You know, in some place like Texas, they have a particular size of the sign. They tell you what type of size lettering. They tell you exactly what it has to say. If you don't have that, then the sign doesn't matter. But
Are these signs growing in popularity, John? I mean, are people just, I mean, in spite of all the empirical evidence that's come out, you know, are people more likely to put signs up today than they were 5 years ago? Even still?
I think if you kind of look over the last 20 years, the number of signs has gone down significantly. I think over the last 2 years, in part because of campaigns and pressure by people like Bloomberg, it's probably gone up a little bit since then. But it's just something that
the
political battle.
So. Exactly. Well, the other thing that rocked the world here in the last week or so, John, was the exposure that the CDC was withholding information on terms. And you and I talked about this the last time we were on the air together, about how many murders, how many attacks have been fended off when somebody has, you have a good person with a gun. And, you know, at that time we were just saying, you know, maybe a couple hundred thousand, possibly. A loose number, and then the CDC's had numbers of over millions, indicating millions, and this crept out much, I think, to some of the anti-NRA and, the Bloombergs of the world, saying, you know, how many times a gun in a situation offsets a mass murder.
Right. Well, here's the reason why it's particularly interesting with the CDC. In 1996, Congress passed something called the Dickey Amendment, which said that the Centers for Disease Control could not use government money to go and lobby for gun control. Now, a lot of gun control advocates have gone and said, oh, well, that's preventing the federal government from going and doing research. And that's simply false. I mean, in this case, the Dickey Amendment passed in 96, and yet in 96, 97, and 98, the CDC was conducting really large-scale surveys, you know, like 50,000 people a year that they were surveying, asking them if they had used the gun defensively. What makes this particularly interesting, not only were they doing this when they're publicly claiming that they aren't going to be doing research, or complaining about it. But what they found was that people were using guns defensively about 2 million times a year. Presumably, if the survey had turned out differently, they wouldn't have hidden these results. I mean, they spent a lot of money on doing this survey each year for 3 years. It puts the lie to the fact that they were claiming that they were being stopped from doing research during this period of time.
See, this is the stuff that just drives us nuts, John, how we're kept in the dark and fed manure here by these institutions that are taking our money. And
right.
this is an abuse and a misappropriation of funds, and then to have the information, I mean, look at, you know, this is where we the people need to understand. This is a government of, for, by we the people. We need to get back in charge again. You cannot disconnect from this government, or you got what we've got today here in America. Dr. John Lott is with us. He continues right after the break. Stay with us 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
If you talk, your name will hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Standing alive and being seen as we are.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
This is who I am inside. This is who I am. I'm not gonna hide. Cause the greatest risk we'll ever take is by far. To stand in the light and be seen as we are.
Your program. Your calls, your opinions, Bill Martinez, live.
Well, there's an unpublished Centers for Disease Control and Prevention study that confirms Florida State University criminologist Gary Kleck's findings of more than 2 million defensive handgun uses per year. Okay, 2 million. We talked when Dr. John Lawton and myself spoke the last time. We were playing it safe because at that time the evidence or the information that was being told to us was that, you know, it was maybe 100,000, maybe a couple hundred thousand.
Well, there are two different types of surveys, just to make it clear.
Right.
There's a survey done by the National Crime Victimization Survey by the Bureau of Justice Statistics, and they find about 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all these other surveys that find any place from 1.5 million on up. The difference between the National Crime Victimization Survey and these others is what we call a screening question. So you have to answer a certain question before they'll even ask you if you used a gun defensively. And the screening question that they use is, have you been a victim of a violent crime?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is if somebody, let's say, brandishes their gun, if they feel threatened and the criminal runs away, they may not view themselves as having been a victim. They
right.
may have viewed themselves as having avoided it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other types of screening question is, have you been threatened or been with somebody who's been threatened with violence? So the first type of question that asks you if you've been a victim, that's the one that shows only about 100,000. But the other questions that say, have you been threatened with violence, those are the surveys that show any place from, you know, 1.5 to 2 million or so defensive gun uses. So it's pretty easy to explain why the different surveys get the two different types of numbers that they get.
Easy for you to explain because you're on top of this. But for the everyday American, you know, that hears some of these reports on TV, it's like, okay, we're going to use the number that fits our agenda best. This is where we get the fake news and we lose sense of objectivity. And as a result, then we have our kids being shot up in schools and because we've got all this false evidence, all in the name of the Bloombergs of the world that think that they know better.
Right. Well, I'll give you just one example of the type of number that the media picks, you know, the one that most closely fits their views, and that is, what's the gun ownership rate in the United States? If you listen to the New York Times or ABC or whatever, they'll frequently use this percent that says it's about 32%. It's from this one survey done by the General Social Survey out of the University of Chicago. The funny thing is that these other news organizations have their own surveys that show much, much higher rates of gun ownership, but they don't use their own survey. So in March this year, there was a survey put out by the Wall Street Journal, NBC News, that showed about 47% of Americans lived in households that owned guns.
Mm-hmm.
Another few percent wouldn't answer the question. There was another survey put out by Pew, which was also about 47%. And yet, so that's a huge difference between those two different types of surveys. But the media, when they go and run stories on things, they tend to consistently pick the survey that shows by far the lowest rate, even though most of the surveys show something about 40%, 45% of households
mm-hmm.
own a gun. And you also have to take into account that there may be 6% or 7% of the people who were surveyed refused to answer the question.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. you have to allocate those somehow. You can't just assume all of those people don't own a gun.
Well,
so
John,
when you do this, you're actually pretty close to 50% of American households own a gun, but they like to pick the smaller number or the smallest number they can find because they want to make gun owners feel isolated and somehow, you know, make them feel uncomfortable for owning a gun.
Well, this is
somehow weird.
Yeah, but then they counter their own argument by talking about how many guns are already out there. Millions of guns. Probably is larger, even more guns than the population of the country. So that on its face would tell you those numbers are low, would it not?
Well, Well, what they want to kind of like the new storyline is that there are a lot of guns, but they're owned by a very small group of people who own a lot of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically this problem. You know, it's they go and they try to pick the survey that fits their gender. But, you know, I'll give you one other example of these surveys, and that is you'll hear that, well, 95% of Americans now support background checks on private transfers of guns. You know, in the past, it's been 80 or 90%.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you know, these surveys have some problems with them because we've had ballot initiatives on different state ballots that Bloomberg's put up that would do exactly that in terms of the law. And they've been defeated. You know, even though Bloomberg's outspent the other side like 6-1 in Maine and Nevada in November 2016, those initiatives didn't get enacted. And Bloomberg outspent his opponents by 3-1 in one state and 6-1 in another.
Right.
When they ask people about specific laws, they aren't anywhere near as popular as the way they phrase these other surveys, which are basically, it reads as if you want to stop criminals from getting guns. And, of course, everybody wants to stop criminals mm-hmm. from getting guns.
Yeah. Well, that's common sense. But, you know, they want to argue that. But, you know, what you're arguing, there's nobody to argue against that. I mean, we're all in agreement. That's just common sense. But, you know, the same thing like what's happening with Bloomberg is the same thing when you look at the NRA, which is you've got a convention coming up, John, the way they're being maligned and attacked. I mean, you know, you think that the NRA is running the country. Really?
I mean, just look at the last couple of days, the brouhaha that's arisen because the gun control advocates are saying the NRA is hypocritical because it's not going to have allowed guns in the convention center when Donald Trump or Mike Pence are going to be speaking. And what I don't know whether it's just being dense or something else, but there's a huge difference between trying to protect people against a robbery or some type of mass public shooting versus being concerned about an attack where there's only one target. You know, if somebody's going to engage in a mass public shooting, you give people a chance to respond when mm-hmm. the person starts shooting at people. But if there's only one target there that's being shot at, you really don't have the same type of time to go and respond to that. And
exactly. So
anyway, it's just, you know, you got the Secret Service there guarding the president in large numbers. So anyway, it's just.
Yeah. And barring they do a better job than they did for JFK, you know, right. Which maybe they learned. I don't know. This still is one of those quarries. And of course, speaking of JFK, the president decided not to release the final pages that were supposed to have been released. So people were kind of surprised by that. So it makes you wonder, you know, how.
Well, they released a lot of it. They mm-hmm. He released like 90% or something.
Right.
I mean, this is outside my bailiwick. But
No, I understand.
They released a lot, not everything, but
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, people were disturbed this last week that when the announcement came that he was not going to release it. But anyway, sidebar stuff, I didn't mean to take you down that road. But still, people, you know, again, this is the narrative, and this is the, you know, whatever the argument that can raise up at any moment that happens to be against Trump, they're going to take advantage of it. So they're not going to let any good crisis or good argument against Donald Trump go to waste. So this is one of those minor ones with the NRA convention. Go figure. Dr. John Lodd with us. John, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, Bill.
This report is brought to you by the Road to Zero Coalition, led by the National Safety Council. Fatal roadway crashes have been increasing, not decreasing, over the past 2 years. In 2016, more than 37,000 Americans were killed each year on public roads, 5,000 more than in 2011. A broad-based coalition has come together through the Road to Zero Coalition to share a vision for a future without any roadway fatalities. They are sharing knowledge on what works today, hope for technology solutions, and a call to prioritize safety every time we are on the roads. This vision is available now. Deborah A.P. Hirschman, President and CEO of the National Safety Council.
Over 50 years ago, we pledged to put a man on the moon. Many thought it was impossible. The Road to Zero Coalition's goal today is to eliminate roadway deaths by 2050. Like going to the moon, it will take leadership, commitment, and new technology. This report lays out how we can make traffic fatalities a thing of the past.
For more information, visit nsc.org.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
About it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez live.
Back with you 20 minutes before the top of the hour on this May the 1st. You know, Loyalty Day is being honored. May Day, of course. Mother Goose Day. I mean, Brad's all dressed out in his Mother Goose outfit just to commemorate the occasion.
That's right.
And in hopes that maybe you he might get some chocolate parfait just because, you know, you need a reward and, you know, to have that kind of courage to come to work dressed as Mother Goose. National Chocolate Parfait Day as well. Well, according to the American, speaking of which, American Diabetes Association, diabetes prevalence is increasing. In fact, 695,000 people in Indiana have diabetes. The increased prevalence of diabetes across the U.S. has inspired Indianapolis-based Eli Lilly and Company to focus on their local communities and launch a new program to improve health diabetes care and access to quality health care. Lilly will draw from decades of similar work in lower-income countries to address specific barriers identified by community members to reduce diabetes complications and risk factors. Joining us today to discuss the program and Lilly's commitment to making life better and building stronger, healthier communities, Dr. Sherry Martin. She's the Vice President of Diabetes Global Medical Affairs at Eli Lilly and Company. Dr. Martin, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, appreciate you with this information. Now, tell us about this program and how it came to be.
This is a pilot that we are launching here in Indianapolis to collect information around a data-driven, neighborhood-based program to improve the lives of people with diabetes. We know from research that we've done that there is an increased prevalence of diabetes growing in the United States, but particularly so in some of our underserved neighborhoods, as much as twice the rate that can occur in other parts of the country. And that has an impact on life. We know that from research that we've done that individuals who have diabetes in these more underserved neighborhoods can sometimes have a life expectancy up to 14 years less.
Wow.
In a neighborhood perhaps 10 miles away.
That's a huge difference.
So what we're doing is, yes, we are going to launch a program where we have community health care workers in combination with public and private partners, health clinics, as well as community engagement leaders, go into these neighborhoods, do some very focused work to help people identify that they may have diabetes. Are they getting the right access to care? Are they getting to the resources that they need? And then to partner with the community to find solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $7 million 5-year program, and during the course of this, we and our partners will collect data, we'll analyze it, and we will publish and report, because our goal is that we'd like for this type of pilot, when we understand what works best, to spread out across the United States.
Mm-hmm. Has Eli Lilly done this before in some other project? Okay. So you have experience.
Go ahead.
What, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say just the work that we've been doing in this area has been in some other countries. We've done work in India, and we've done work in Mexico and South Africa, again, in more underserved communities, sometimes lower socioeconomic, and we've seen that this model can work there. But what we need to understand now is, does it work here in our own hometown and
mm-hmm.
in neighborhoods that we know and people that we know?
Well, it's definitely worth the investment, and that's what I was trying to get to, is that you've seen it work in other countries. You have to think, you have to have a high prospect that it should be, you know, as effective, if not more effective here in this country based on your experience.
We hope so, Bill. And it's through work like this that I think communities can learn. We can understand that there may be some solutions that are unique to a specific region of the country or, you know, to a specific neighborhood, things like food deserts where the solution may be that we need to support the opportunity to bring in better retail around food provision, grocery stores. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's around having a safe place for people to exercise, to get that physical activity that's needed. And then, of course, just education. So that people can understand more about what they can do for themselves. But we do believe that we'll learn a lot. We don't know that we have all the answers today, but we believe we'll learn a lot, and then we'll publish it and we'll report so that others can learn with us.
Well, it's a start and it's a process. Now, you've chosen three neighborhoods in Indianapolis. So why Indianapolis and why these three neighborhoods?
Well, Indianapolis, because this is our home for Eli Lilly and Company. This is the community that supports us. This is the community where we live and we work and go to school and have our families. The three neighborhoods we picked because of a very high prevalence of diabetes, approaching almost 20% of the individuals who live in these neighborhoods, some socioeconomic factors, and then very importantly, these are places where our public health care system already has a presence. Their clinics do exist in these neighborhoods that people can access, and we have committed community leaders who are very engaged and want to do things to improve the health of the people who live in their community.
Always good to have cooperation. Now, how long will you be implementing this program in Indianapolis?
We'll we'll be here for 5 years is our initial pilot date. We hope that it, of course, will be sustaining and will expand. We know from our experiences in a country like Mexico that we ran a similar pilot, and in 2013, the government in Mexico took that healthcare community worker model and expanded it out across the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe that there'll be an opportunity for this to go on, to be something that the healthcare systems can sustain and that the communities can sustain.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Martin, tell us more about the program partnership, specifically how you're going to work to implement the program.
Well, we have a very important partnership with the Fairbanks School of Public Health associated at IUPUI, which is a local campus here in Indianapolis. They will help us. They've helped us with the design and the structure and, of course, with a lot of the initial data gathering that we've done. We also have a partner with a public health system, leading public health in the region, Eskenazi Health, and these are where our community health workers will be based and where we will have the opportunity for patients to come in and get specific care. And then we have some partnerships with the County Public Health Department, which is Marion County, and then a couple of groups that will help us with manage the community engagement and the data collection. So it's a pretty broad partnership, and we think that's one of the beauties of having a group like Eli Lilly and Company come in, because we can help with the funding and we can also help with driving the organizational structure so that these groups can all communicate and share with each other.
Now, you say that this program is going to be quite transparent and you will be giving consistent updates to keep the community informed and others who are keeping an eye on this program, right?
Absolutely. We have a website, which is diabetes.iupui.edu.
Mm-hmm.
So the website is active and will be a place where there'll be a lot of information shared. And in addition, for people who live here in our local region, they can sign up for the program. But we will continue to update. We will continue to share. We'll publish information mm-hmm. such that it's available for the public to read and understand what we found worked and what didn't work.
Dr. Martin, as we wrap things up, I want you to tell us more about the Lilly 30 by 30 program.
This program that we have around this pilot is embedded within our larger corporate goal to have 30 million people each year, primarily in underserved communities around the world, who have opportunity to get access to improved health care. So that's 30 million people each year by 2030.
Wow. That's a great goal. I love goals, and I love goals like this because they're based out of big dreams, and that's a big dream, Dr. Sherry Martin, and we congratulate you and Lilly Company for your investment in the local community and the impact that it potentially could have across this country. Dr. Martin is Vice President of Diabetes Global Medical Affairs at Eli Lilly and Company. Dr. Martin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
For professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to to act.
General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metal dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. Lots of things, to keep you up to date as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads. We bring the experts, showcase the experts here. So we get away from a lot of opinion because I feel, after all, if you're going to make a decision, let's make it based on the facts and the truth, right? Why not? We're going to be talking now. I guess we should say it. I guess, Brad, and you know, as they say in the big stadium, now batting for Abby Johnson is Pamela Whitehead. Is that correct, Pam?
That's correct, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I know we've talked before, so you guys are always being pulled in 50 million directions, and I'm honored whenever we get a chance to talk to you. Speaking of the truth and the facts. What you have been doing on behalf of the unborn is most incredible, and that's the understatement. I there's just not enough words to tell you how much I appreciate your good fight in protecting. You talk about the very underrepresented, and those are the yet to be born children, American citizens here in our country, that have been aborted in mass numbers. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, we're all in this together, Bill, and so we appreciate the unity in this movement, and we're just so grateful for all those who've come behind us to support us in our efforts. So thank you so much.
Well, Pamela, what we wanted to talk about today was public inspection reports on Indiana abortion clinics show a need for regulations. Break that down for our audience so they understand what we're talking about here.
Oh, sure. We have a new resource for anyone who would like to look inside the clinic that's in their community. And we've uploaded inspection reports that we have received through public information requests to the Department of Public Health. And I'm telling you, Bill, if people will go to checkmyclinic.org and look at these reports for themselves, they'll see the atrocities that are happening within the abortion clinic. The issue we have here in Planned Parenthood and even privately owned clinics is that they have no oversight. They are supposed to have a quality assurance program where basically they police themselves and they self-report when there's an issue.
Right.
And this fails miserably, miserably. And you can see it in the reports. And, you know, I can look at Women's Medical Group here in Indianapolis. They did an abortion on a 15-year-old patient, yet they failed to report the possible abuse of this minor, which is mandatory for a minor with sexual contact, and they didn't do that. In another clinic in Indiana, I believe it was Planned Parenthood in Indianapolis, the physician was overdosing the patients on fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
In 17 of the 18 charts that were reviewed, the physician was giving the highest dose of 100 micrograms per 100 kilograms, and all the patients were under that weight. So he was overdosing the patients on fentanyl rather than taking the time to calculate their dose and give them the proper dosage. One patient, their oxygen level dropped below 76%. There was no intervention in the chart.
Wow.
There was no complication reported. There was no report of the patient being transferred for emergency. You know, I mean, we could go on and on. The medical records are incomplete. There's no infection control plan in many of these clinics. And where there is one, it's not being enforced. The infection control officers are not qualified to sit in that role. They have no special training, which is required. Some of them already need medical personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of this is available on this site, and I highly encourage the public to seek it out for themselves. Don't just take our word for it.
Kind of amazing here, Pam, when you think that, you know, Planned Parenthood says, oh, they're there to protect the mom. Well, where is the protection? How come they're not speaking out on this? But it takes, you know, checkmyclinic.org, and then there was none, there, and then there were none, you know, your organizations, you know, to be the champions of this cause, to protect mothers, to protect, because in a lot of cases, I mean, what is the average age of women that are having abortions today?
They're 18 to 26. So we're talking about younger women. However, you know, many women, over 50% of women who have an abortion already had one in their past.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
We're not talking about women who go into a clinic who've never been there before or never encountered this. And we stand on sidewalks in front of the clinics. We're not just behind the keyboard here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're not just in the public, in the halls of Congress. You know, we are also on the front line. Boots on the ground doing this work as well. And we encounter many women who feel like this is the only place that they can go for the help that they think that they need. They don't even realize they have other options. The resources are hidden to them because no one is telling them. They're seeking it out in the place where it's to them, they think Planned Parenthood is the only place that can help them.
Exactly.
First, the name implies help.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out that's not what's there. So, you know, we believe that without a doubt, the reason Planned Parenthood doesn't want to report complications, and of course we know Planned Parenthood is not the only abortion provider in the country. They just provide over one-third of the abortions in the country, more than any other entity. So we usually speak of them because they're the most known, and they're basically a monopoly on this abortion game. So the reason they don't want to report, they don't want the oversight, they don't want anyone digging in their pocket. This is the issue here. Over 51% of Planned Parenthood's income is from abortion.
Right.
Where they cry out that only 3% of their services are abortion. We all know that's a lie. You can do the math and see that that's not true.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, the thing is that because of the political angle and what has happened in the argument of, you know, the safety of children and abortions, the whole issue, it's my body, all this stuff that's gone on.
Mm-hmm.
Planned Parenthood and other groups like them get a pass. And, you know, we hear of the atrocities. I mean, we're still, you know, holding our breath to see if anybody is going to get indicted for selling baby parts. Nothing's happened. You have these clear violations that are taking place. You know, what's going on? You know, nobody's going to jail. Nobody's getting fined here. Nobody's getting shut down. You talk about staff storing blood vials in refrigerator along with medications and performing Rh testing on the same countertop used to prepare medicine. I mean, these are all basic medical procedures that have been time honored that need to be followed, and they don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter. You also note that many of the staff did not have CPR certification. Vital signs were not recorded in recovery for patients who had received sedation. I mean, this is incredible. And I was just reading something else here this morning, Pamela, that was talking about how many babies had actually, how many live births have occurred, you know, of infants just in Florida. I'm in Florida here broadcasting live from my new home state. And there were 16 infants in Florida born alive after surviving abortion attempts. And, you know, and that information is really hard to get a handle on. And that's just in Florida alone, not talking across the country.
You know, we have many people who ask us often, they're like, how do you get this information? Where do you get it from? And, you know, many people don't realize that inspection reports for these clinics is public information. Mm-hmm. If you request it from the Department of Public Health. Now, what you'll find is when you make these requests, which you'll see in Florida, Florida's reports are actually available online mm-hmm. Through their Department of Public Health. But again, the links are not easy to find. You got to know how to navigate the site. So
right.
We've done that work for you. In most of these Departments of Public Health, when we receive the report, there's no rhyme or reason or method to when the state goes in. Like, you don't see a pattern. You know, for instance, Planned Parenthood in Maryville in Indiana, the last report we have is for 2014. And we made a request a couple of months ago. And so that's the last report we have. So mm-hmm. We don't know when they're going in. There's no schedule of when the state is actually going in and inspecting these clinics. That's why reporting complications is so important, because it puts a flag on a clinic, basically. It lets the state know, hey, this clinic had 10 complications in 6 months. You know, there's an issue there. We need to go in and look. Why do you think Planned Parenthood sued the state of Indiana and doesn't want the state looking in on the clinic? The last thing they want is oversight.
Exactly.
So this is what we're facing here.
Well, Abby, in made a following statement. She said, when a state attempts to regulate abortion clinics in any manner, they will receive pushback from the abortion industry, who operates on a mindset of cutting corners in order to squeeze the most out of every dollar that walks through their doors. The conditions of many abortion clinics in the country is deplorable. Women deserve better than unsterilized instruments, dirty operation rooms, rusty equipment, and expired medications. Is it really that bad, Pamela? I mean, you know, because women are hearing this and they go, oh, I think she's just exaggerating because, you know, her interest is anti-abortion.
It is really that bad, and it's all available at checkmyclinic.org. We've summarized the report for you, but you can download the report and read it yourself. We've uploaded it there. You can print it off. You can look at it, peruse it, look at it. If you have questions, you can email us at info@checkmyclinic.org. If you see that a clinic's not listed in your state, let us know, and we can tell you why, if we've made that public records request, or you can help us to get them. But, you know, we at the Planned Parenthood in Maryville, this was interesting. When we looked at the inspection report, the inspector found that in the chart, there would be a procedure documented as starting at 1656, which is 456,
right,
but stopping at 1612.
Wow.
So,
a lot of discrepancies there, and we got to leave it right there. Thank you, Pamela.
Back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back.
or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361 for hot and cold therapy. sunny-bay.com.